Our prayer of understanding at God's word. Enlighten the eyes of our hearts, O God, and grant us spirit of wisdom and revelation through the reading of this, your word. Amen. Our reading from God's Word today is John 17, 6 through 19. I have revealed your name and the people you gave me from this world. They were yours and gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. This is because I gave them the words that you gave me, and they received them. They truly understand that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you gave me because they are yours. Everything that is mine is yours, and everything that is yours is mine. I have been glorified in them. I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world even as I'm coming to you. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I watched over them in your name, the name you gave me. I kept them safe. None of them were lost, except the one who is destined for destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Now I'm coming to you, and I say these things while I'm in the world, so that they can share completely in my joy. I gave your word to them, and the world hated them, because they don't belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. They don't belong to this world, just as I don't belong to this world. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. I make myself holy on their behalf, so that they will also be made holy in the truth. Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I thank our brother in Christ for helping us in worship this morning. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you. And we thank you for the gift of prayer, for the communion that we experience with you through prayer, and for how you're already and always at work. Thank you for filling us before we're even aware of it, before a word of prayer is offered. Thank you for these words of guidance and truth. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. It's no surprise that I would be in a particular comfort zone talking about prayer. Not at all. However, a couple of Saturdays ago, I found myself in a very different situation, environment, and circumstance. I was down at the Yuma County Fairgrounds, ready to experience a roller derby match. Did you realize that Yuma has a women's roller derby team? Did you realize that? Does anybody here participate? Anybody here a team member? No? Okay, I'm just... And why I was there is through a number of situations that God brought about, I asked them if they would like somebody to offer an opening prayer. And they said, sure. And the one that was the most enthused about this was the one that had a nose stud and other piercings and tattoos. She said, yeah, I'm a believer. Praise God. So, as I am walking around and standing in one particular location, the whole team rolls over towards me. Now, these are individuals with names like Molly Hatchet. And I'm wondering what is going to happen next. Have you ever seen a whole roller derby team rolling towards you? And I said, let's pray. What do you pray before a roller derby match? Hallelujah. Absolutely. Lord, help me. And I just prayed, Lord, keep everyone safe and healthy during this match in the name of Jesus. Amen. And they were so thrilled by that prayer. And I got out of the way as quickly as I could and found a seat. My point is, prayer is appropriate at all times, at all places, in all locations, with all people, whether we're comfortable with it or not. Prayer, you see, is our lifeblood. And I believe that prayer is something that reminds us of a humility, not humiliation, but a humility that we are called to have with God. Okay? Understanding that God is our source. Understanding that God is at work. Understanding that God's grace stretching us, guiding us, encouraging us, sustaining us. And so there's this humility before God, simply wanting to be open, all right? Wanting to listen, wanting to hear. Now, however God moves, continuing to be open to that. In reading the scripture passage today, a thought came to mind. If you had Jesus over for a meal, okay? Imagine that. You're gathered at your table, and there's a meal before you, and you had Jesus over for a meal, would you want him to offer the opening blessing? Really? You might be sitting there for a while also. Now, let me put it this way. You're hungry, and your stomach is growling. Do you still want Jesus to offer the prayer? You want Jesus to offer the prayer? Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. The reason why I ask that is the entire 17th chapter of John, this particular scripture passage is taken out of the 17th chapter, but the entire 17th chapter of John is Jesus praying. John chapter 17 could be designated the Lord's Prayer. Now think about if it was. We'd still be finishing up our prayer time, wouldn't we? We'd still be offering those words. And yet it is beautiful, it is powerful, it is surprising. And I'm going to encourage you to do something in just a bit with that particular prayer that may stretch you, but I think it will also fill you and guide you. Jesus has already been at a meal with the disciples, so this is actually a prayer that's coming after a meal. Imagine that. He's done some things with them, like washing their feet, illustrated what it is to truly be a disciple, illustrated what he would like them to be able to do for others. And now he comes to this time of prayer before he heads to the cross. Whenever we keep it in that context, in the biblical witness, he's served, he's humbled himself, he's served those around him who see him as a great teacher and rabbi, and yet service is something and servanthood is something that's jostling around in their mind right now, and you have to wonder what they were remembering from these intimate moments with Jesus as he heads to the cross. And as they witness that as well, this is a working of grace overall. And it reminds us that God defines us, not the other way around. Whenever we pray, sometimes we pray, I think, as though we're trying to get God's attention or maybe even change God's mind. But I like this quote from C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis is a well-known Christian apologist. defender of the faith, author. He wrote the Screwtape Letters and the Narnia books, movies that are quite popular. Very simple phrase that Lewis uses to describe prayer. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes me. That reminds us of how prayer is called to define us and that openness that we have to God. There's a prayer offered by Bishop Robert Schnazy in his book, Remember the Future. And I loved it because it's a prayer of discipleship. It goes like this. Loving God, bring us back to the tasks you call us to love the people Jesus loves, to serve the way Jesus serves, to embrace those whom Jesus embraces, so that we may find ourselves in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Finding ourselves in God. I think that's part of the prayer that Jesus offered here. Finding ourselves in a more intimate communion with God. Connected with God. Actually, Paul offers a verse. Paul offers a lot of different verses, but specifically from Galatians chapter 2, 20, that speaks about this connectivity between us and God, we and our Savior Jesus as well. When Paul says, "And it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." Maybe you've heard this verse before. "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." No longer me, but it's Jesus who people see. That's my interpretation of that. That's my interpretation. No longer me and my agenda, but how God is speaking and guiding me. That comes through a life lived in prayer. There's a sense that we have that certainly whenever we pray, we have a list. In fact, in our house of prayer here, we have a list, don't we? The back of our bulletin every Sunday. I thank each and every one of you who takes that home, uses it as a Bible marker or uses it as a coaster or uses it in whatever way you want. That's fine. But all of a sudden you look down at that list and maybe your prayer is simply, "Lord, be at work in these lives. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know the situations, and I don't need to know them. Be at work in these lives." I think that's what Jesus was saying in the scripture today. Lord, be at work in these lives. When we look at that list in our bulletin, maybe there are names that we are intimately familiar with. Maybe there are names or situations that break our hearts. In those moments, a prayer offered to God is received already before the words, even when we can't come up with the right words. Lord, help this person in the name of Jesus. That's a prayer. Whenever we offer these prayers, whenever we offer these words, whenever they come from our heart, whenever they are just pure, unadulterated, honest, authentic, even very, very raw, God is already receiving them. People will share with me, "I'm not sure if I know how to pray," or "Don't ask me to pray," or "I've never prayed before in this kind of situation." I respect that, but it is essential to understand that whatever words, however we offer them, they're received. There's not a secret code language in prayer, you see. When Jesus prayed, and when we heard our brother share that, those are very real, honest, everyday kind of words, weren't they? Now, certainly they were coming from our namesake, our Savior, the Son of God, right? But still, Jesus modeled something for us that we can learn from and follow. Jesus was praying for those who were going to seek to be living in His name, bearing His name, not only in what they say, but maybe more so in what they do. I've shared that phrase here many, many times, but I'll share it once again. You might be the only Bible that someone reads or sees or experiences. So what are your actions? What are your words conveying? How are you using the name of Jesus? Think about that this past week. For us, a wonderful opportunity, a wonderful outpouring of God's grace meets us whenever we seek to simply be a messenger of love. No matter how it's received, when we seek to be that messenger of love and grace, God is already intersecting at that place, helping us, guiding us. Jesus is praying that in this particular prayer. So, back to John chapter 17. What I'm going to invite you to do, what I'm going to encourage you to do, is something for the next 40 days. Do you think you can do something for 40 days? Maybe. Maybe. For 40 days, I would encourage you every day at some point to read the 17th chapter of John. It's a prayer that Jesus offered. It's a word of encouragement, but it is also something that's very holy. And I believe, I truly believe, that as you start on this journey, and I'm going to be doing this as well, as you start on this journey and we do this together, what's going to happen is that wherever we read this, that starts becoming kind of a holy ground and a sacred space. As we read these words, and maybe some days it's going to be a real challenge just to go ahead and do that. And you're going to think, man, I wish Curly hadn't challenged me on Sunday to do this. Doesn't he know all the stuff that I need to get done? Doesn't he know I got a whole busy schedule? I got stuff on my agenda too. John 17, though. Just reading that prayer, the Lord's prayer, the Lord praying for you. I believe that in that 40 days, and biblically we understand that 40 days, there are a lot of things that can happen, can't there? A lot of things can take place in 40 days. There's an intimacy that will grow with God. There is a reminder also of what discipleship truly is. And there will be a reminder also that God is already at work in our lives. So maybe there is a challenge that you're facing. Maybe there is a concern that you have in your heart. Maybe there's a burden that you continue to carry. No matter how many times you've been invited to lay it before God, you continue to carry it. Maybe in that 40 days of reading that prayer with Jesus and it becoming more and more your prayer as well, there can be an opening, there can be a release, there can be a new experience of grace. Because above all, above everything else, God is grace and love and hope and healing in our lives. For us, we are those people that Jesus prays for as well. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Jesus praying for you specifically for each and every one of us. Jesus, knowing you, and God at work in your life, and that Holy Spirit gathering us together as the body of Christ. Do our prayers need to be eloquent, beautiful, memorable enough that somebody would put them in a volume or a book and publish them? No. Can they simply be, Lord, help me? Lord, grant me patience and I want it now? Help, help, help. Lord, I don't know what to say. All of those, beautiful, effective, powerful. Because God's love for you is more intimate than you can ever imagine. God's grace at work in you is more powerful than you'll probably experience ever to the fullest degree. And God is speaking into your life and defining you right now. So God knows what you carry in your heart. God knows what you mean, no matter what words are offered in prayer. What a joy it is to have a Savior who speaks on our behalf. What a joy it is to have that Savior whose name we claim as well. What a joy it is to know that God is at work, always and already. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for prayer. And this morning, we're grateful that we have this prayer that we can read, that we can soak in, that we can ponder. These words of Jesus praying and including us in that prayer. Lord, thank you for the journey ahead. As we ponder these words and as we chew on them, as we reflect on them, as we take some time just to be in quiet after we read them. Thank you, Lord, for how you're speaking. Whether we hear it audibly or not, thank you for how you speak into our lives and create in us an intimacy. Fill us. Sustain us. Guide us as modern-day disciples in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.